Okay, I guess we can get started now. Hello, everybody. My name is Richard Lazovic, and I am the owner and editor of Mortgage Pro News. And I wanted to thank you very much for joining us today. This should be a very informative and interesting phone call. Today we have with us Ted Prodromo and John Esposito. Ted is an internet business consultant, and John Esposito is a niche marketing expert who specializes in construction financing. John started in the mortgage industry in 1993, and since that time has closed over $500 million in loans. He figured out a long time ago the importance of finding a niche and developing an expertise in that niche. In addition, he still originates loans today. John publishes a marketing newsletter called the Niche Gold Letter, as well as coaching loan officers nationwide on niche marketing techniques and tactics. In fact, his May 2007 boot camp is already sold out, and he'll be hosting another one in the fall where he'll share with us his secrets to the mortgage business. We will let you know about that one when the time comes. And without any more delay, I'd like to get started. John, would you like to start telling us about your seven secrets to success?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on. Yeah, as you said, there's seven things that I think are the absolute secrets to success for any loan officer. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll talk about them in order. The first thing is, I think, the most important thing. That is that you need to have a proven system to follow for conducting your business. Now, systems, some people think of them as bad things. You know, they think it's a gimmick or a shortcut, and that's not it at all. A good proven system is necessary for anybody to stay on track and to develop their business, which leads to the bottom line. It generates more income, more consistent income. Finding a good system is a whole different ball game, and I'll talk about that in a second. I guess before I even talk about how to find a good system, we should talk about what a good system is. To me, a good system does three things. One is it's a way to generate a lead. Two, it's a way to turn that lead into a sale. And three, it's a way to get repeat sales from that lead turned client. I think of clients as clients for life, just as every loan officer should. Now that we know what a good system is, the key to finding that good system is actually pretty simple. It's basically go out, find the most successful person doing what you want to do, someone who's already reached those goals that you want to reach, somebody who's already obtained the success that you want to obtain, and then do whatever you can do to learn from them. One of the tricks to that, though, is that you go into any local town and there's going to be some real successful loan officer out there who probably doesn't want to share his secrets with you because he doesn't want you cutting into his business. So what savvy loan officers are doing is going outside of their market to find somebody who has that expertise, somebody who's already found that success, and learning from them.
So, John, who did you learn your system from?
Well, I'll tell you, I actually learned the hard way. I wish I had somebody to go to and get all their secrets and learn all their tactics and techniques. But instead, I did it by plodding along for several years and learning by trial and error, learning by failing, and finally developing the right systems for my mortgage business. Now, I learned the marketing techniques and the marketing tactics from several folks, people like Dan Kennedy, the readings from Claude Hopkins and Brian Tracy in sales, so many other folks I can't even name right now. But what I did was I learned outside of the mortgage business how to apply the marketing techniques to the mortgage product that I was going to sell. One of the things that I think keeps people from actually finding a good system and following it is something that I heard a woman named Alexandria Brown, who's known as the e-zine queen. She calls it the BSO syndrome, which stands for bright shiny object. And what she's talking about is that it's a good reason why most people actually fail to find and follow a successful system, and therefore they never find long-term success, is because they get sidetracked by the next bright shiny object that dangles in front of their face. The key to finding a system is finding a proven system and then sticking with it, not jumping around from the next newest gimmick to the next newest gimmick.
find something that works and just follow it to the letter and don't try to change it.
That's exactly it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
And again, not get sidetracked by the new wheels.
Right. We all do.
Absolutely. And I'm certainly as guilty of that as anybody. And it wasn't until I started focusing and not doing that is when I really started becoming a little bit more successful. One nice thing about a good system, it doesn't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be overly complicated to be successful. I mean, they're not mutually exclusive things. In my case, we now have a very automated system, so we know every step of the way what we're doing with a customer, what we're doing with a lead, what we're doing with dead customers, with current applications. It's very automated. It's not very complicated, but it is very precise. And I think that's very important to keep us on track. Every loan officer has a system right now, whether they know it or not. It just might not be a very good one. Chances are most people are doing whatever they were taught the day they got into the business. They had somebody, whether it was one of the senior loan officers or their branch manager or whoever it may have been, said, go out and do this. And this is the way you do it. You go do A, B, and C, and that's our system. And most likely that loan officer hasn't changed his way of doing things since day one, and that might not be the best thing.
One thing I hear a lot is people hear the word system, so I think it's really expensive to set up a system.
Exactly, and it's not at all. I mentioned a moment ago that we now have things automated, but it's really only been the last couple of years that we started automating things. For the first dozen or so years I was in this business, I'm embarrassed to admit that my lead stayed in the drawer, my desk drawer, right next to me, and I fortunately had a system for going through them and staying on top of them, and that was free. it was as simple as reaching into the desk drawer, going through certain date codes that I had, and making sure I followed up. But I will say that once you start automating things, once you start following a little bit better system than that, things do get easier. Now, on the heels of secret number one would be my second secret, which is making sure that you're employing sound marketing principles. Any good system usually begins with a good marketing system. One of the things that we all have to realize in the mortgage business is that we are not in the mortgage business, we're not in the real estate business, we're in the marketing business. And as soon as a loan officer realizes that and admits that to themselves, that's when you really open the door to success.
And that chances scares a lot of people off, right?
It does. People are afraid of change, or people are afraid to admit that maybe they're really not in the business they thought they were in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what it is we're selling in a moment, but the fact is that we are in the business of selling things, whether it could be a mortgage, it could be a paperclip, it could be a car, it doesn't really matter. We're selling something.
Right.
And to be honest, the marketing that works, successful marketing, can be, you can do any of those things. You can sell widgets, you can sell, paperclips or airplanes, it doesn't matter. Marketing is marketing.
And it's not really that hard once you learn the fundamentals.
That's right, exactly. You're employing the same exact basic techniques and tactics every single time, and you're just now inserting your product into, insert product here kind of thing.
Exactly.
But chances are real, real good that the most successful loan officer in town is not marketing the same way that the least successful loan officer is. I think that's a pretty safe assumption that those people out there that are very successful in this business have figured it out. They figured out how to market, and they realize that they are in the marketing business, not the loan business. Now, in my case, I'm a big believer that not only should you market better and have better techniques for marketing, but you should also market differently. A piece of advice that I heard a long time ago from a man named Earl Nightingale, who is some consider him the father of modern marketing. He said, if you want to make money, take a look around at what everybody else is doing in the market and then do the exact opposite. And that scares a lot of folks. Ted, you mentioned a second ago that people get scared on something different. When you're taught to do A and then B and then C, it's pretty scary then to turn around and say, no, I'm going to do, D, H, and J now instead.
It's also hard when you say, no one's doing this, therefore it must not be right.
Exactly, because you feel like you're out there on an island, treading new water. But in fact, the easiest way to think about this in our business, in the mortgage business, you take a look around and you realize, everybody else is fairly unsuccessful in this business. I mean, most loan officers are not doing all that well, despite the fact that this business, quite honestly, could be a money-making machine for anybody who wants it to be. But that should be your motivation to say, if these 20 people over here are averaging $30,000 a year in income, maybe I should do something different. And it's not just the mortgage business. You take examples from American history. I'll tell you one of my favorites is Henry Ford. He built his fortune in the entire Ford empire doing exactly what Earl Nightingale describes. At first, when he was just thinking up the Model T, cars were already invented. He didn't invent the car, but they were reserved only for the wealthiest individuals out there. So his goal was, we're going to put a car in every driveway. We're going to build a car, as he said, for the everyman. So he had to now figure out how to design a cheap car, or an affordable car, I should say. He had to invent the assembly line. He had to create a wage system that he could get workers to build quality cars. After he figured that out, he didn't stop there, though. He then invented the whole dealer network system, so he had a way to service and sell the cars. And then he didn't stop there, because then he invented the gas station system, because he wanted to sell gas to the people that now bought the cars.
Right.
It was really quite brilliant. One of my very favorite quotes, I think, of all time is from Henry Ford, and it actually ties in exactly to what Nightingale said. Ford was asked... several years after the Model T was out and he had become a success. And, he said, if I had asked my customers what they wanted, they would have told me they wanted a faster horse. Well, he didn't give them a faster horse, he gave them a car and invented an entire industry in the doing.
And what's amazing about Henry Ford, I've heard stories, people said he really wasn't that smart, but he surrounded himself with the right people to create this system.
Right, and he had an undying will, he practically willed that car into existence. When his engineer said something couldn't be done, he just didn't care.
Right.
And failure, it goes back to, you've heard the famous generals may have said things like, failure is not an option. And that's the way we in the marketing business need to look at this. Failing is not an option in the long term. Sure, in the short term, you're going to try a marketing campaign that's not going to work. The key is you don't cut and run at that point. In our own business, we've all heard names like Brian Sachs, Reed Hoisington, and several other folks. They're successful for a couple reasons. One of them is that they're much better marketers than most of their competition. Now, as far as viewing marketing, one thing that a lot of new loan officers and also a lot of older loan officers who aren't very successful, they view marketing as an expense, as a cost. When in fact, the real secret is that you need to view your marketing as an investment, and you measure your marketing not in terms of cost of dollars, but in terms of ROI, in terms of return on investment. When you start thinking that way, you realize that whatever you're putting into the pipeline is coming out tenfold or twentyfold or even two or threefold on the other end. That's successful marketing. In our office,
if they invest $1,000, they're going to get X amount of loans out of that.
Right. And the truth is, in any investment, if you invest $1,000 and you get $1,001 back, it's a successful investment.
Right.
Obviously, we're not going for a $1 gain, but in our office, we do things that do 20 times, 30 times the return on investment. Some that do 50, but we also do things that return 2, 3, 4 times return on investment, and we do them all because they're all necessary. Dan Kennedy, one of my mentors, says to us all, whenever we'll listen, he says, you can't do one thing to try to get 100 deals. You need to be doing 100 things to get one deal each. And that, to me, sums up how a successful marketing system should be put in place. We don't do 100 things in our office, but I did count up the other day. We actually do 32 different things. Each and every month, 32 different things to get a lead, to turn that lead into a sale, to get more sales out of our old customers. things like our, you know, use of our websites, direct mail, emails, voice broadcasts, print ads, newsletters, e-zines, and a whole host of other things. And the key is in putting those into place and then making sure that you do them each and every month.
So it's not just one solution will work for everybody. You've got to put them all together, and the combination is what works.
Absolutely. In any marketing, you want to make sure that you're contacting folks multiple times and through multiple forms of advertising. In other words, you might get them a letter. They might get a letter one day, but then they might see your website the next, or they might get a phone call from you the next. You never know exactly what an individual customer is going to respond to. You can look in the broad sense and say, okay, we know the numbers are going to be, if we do this, we're going to get this much response. But that particular customer on the individual level might prefer, the email from you instead of respond to the letter that he got in the mail or whichever other technique you used.
So you just have to try them all and see how they
exactly. Go. Exactly. And the more things you can do, and again, going back to the return on investment, as long as you've got a positive return on investment, meaning you invest $1,000 and you make $1,001 or more, then you should keep doing it. There's no reason to stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Before we go on to number three, do you want to see if there's any questions?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask. I guess nobody has any questions yet. Number three.
Sure, let's charge on to number three. The third secret is understanding and knowing what your brand is. When I ask loan officers, and this happens all the time, I'll ask them, what is their brand? What is your brand, Mr. Loan Officer? The answer is always something along the lines of Apex Mortgage or ABC Mortgage, whatever their company name is. That's not the answer. The right answer and the only answer for successful loan officers is that you are your brand, not your company or not your product. There's an old saying that says people buy from people who they know, like, and trust, and that really should be the goal of anybody who's selling anything. You've got to get to know your customer on a one-on-one level, and you can even do this over the Internet. Even if you sold exclusively online, whatever your product might be, you can still give your customers some insight into who you are, so that they do get to know you a little bit, so that they do develop a trust with you. One of the ways that people do that is by using a photo of themselves. So realtors learned this a long time ago, that you put a picture of yourself on your card.
Allie Brown is a great example of that online.
I'm sorry?
Queen. She has such a relationship with her readers. She could sell anything to them.
That's exactly it. And she's not afraid to inject a little bit of herself into her marketing. She'll tell a story about her cat or whatever it might be, and she'll do things that'll put a smile on the face of the customers, and that's actually one of the goals that I try to achieve also. You can't be afraid to take chances. You can't be afraid to let people get to know you. If you are afraid of that, then one technique is that a lot of folks use successfully is they develop an alter ego. They become a whole different personality in their marketing. I know one person who becomes made himself into the doctor of low rates or something like that, and started doing a whole marketing theme around him wearing doctor's outfits and throwing in some medical terms here and there. And I think it was because he was uncomfortable with using just himself as an individual, so he created an alter ego.
Right.
I know in my case, I've become known as something as of the madcap marketer in some circles because I do a lot of oddball promotions. I do a lot of unique mailings. I send greeting cards for holidays that you've never heard of. For example, right now, I'm sure many of you don't know that April 16th is National Guitar Pickers Day. Believe it or not, there's calendars out there. You get them right on the Internet. Every single day is something. But on Guitar Pickers Day, a lot of folks also don't know that you can get custom-printed guitar picks made for less than 20 cents a piece. And now you've got a whole reason to contact your customers. Happy Guitar Pickers Day. Here's your guitar pick.
With your logo on it.
Exactly, with your information on it.
And it's easy to carry around.
And, of course, an offer. I'm sorry?
I was just saying it's a very easy thing for them to carry around and give out to people.
Oh, exactly. And most importantly, it gives you a reason for contacting them and a reason for putting an offer or a reminder in front of them. Another one coming up, April 23rd, happens to be National Garlic Breath Day. Again, another crazy holiday, but several of my favorite referral sources are going to be going out to an Italian dinner on me, you know, where, you know, let them go get some garlic breath. And again, it gave me a reason to write a letter to get back in touch with them. Sitting right here on my desk. I'm sorry?
You can actually invent these days.
Oh, you can.
A friend of mine
created
a National Punctuation Day, sent out a press release. And
right.
It's on TV every year on that day.
and the thing is, though, the beauty is you actually don't need to invent them, because all you need to do is Google, I think you can type in oddball holidays or unique holidays, and you'll get a whole list of calendars and things, and you just pick and choose which ones you want. Sitting here on my desk in front of me is a box of plastic frogs that I just got an order of. Little frogs that have those suction cups on the bottom where you stick them down and you wait 10 seconds and they pop up on you.
Right.
The third week in May is the annual Calaveras County jumping frog contest that was made famous by Mark Twain's short story.
Yep.
So my customers are getting their own frog to enter. just a short letter says, the way I've written that letter in this case is I send it to them with the full expectation that they already have a frog to enter, but just in case they don't, here's one. And then you launch right into your regular sales pitch.
Right.
But again, it just gives you a way to get in touch with them. It gives you a reason to put a smile on someone's face, and they're going to remember you. They're going to get to know you. They're going to remember me as that guy who sent them the frog instead of that guy who's got the 5.875% 30-year fix with a half-point origination fee and low processing fee and this or that or the other thing.
Right.
And that's why they're going to buy from me, not from that guy who's advertising 5.875% rate with this or that or the other thing.
Right. So you're all selling widgets, essentially. They're all the same.
Exactly. And that's the other thing that loan officers need to understand is every single one of us can do the same exact things if we want to. So the way to distinguish yourself is by distinguishing you, not your product. A couple other little tips about injecting some of your personality. I mentioned if you don't like your personality, go get a new one, design a new alter ego. It's very effective to use your family, your kids, your pets. If you don't have them, borrow a neighbor's, borrow a friend's. If you've got an in-law with use your niece. If you don't have a daughter, for a picture or a crazy idea. The bottom line is don't be scared to try these kind of new things to develop that brand of you. Continuing on to number four is education, which is very important, I think. There's actually two kinds of education. And I think every loan officer needs to be constantly continuing their education. And I'm not talking about education like the latest state laws or the latest RESPA stuff. I mean, that's important, but that's not what puts dollars in your pockets. The kind of continuing education that I'm talking about is the kind that you invest in yourself that will actually make you money. And there's two kinds. One is product education, where in your quest to become an expert, and this goes hand in hand with becoming an expert in a niche that we're going to talk about in a moment, you need to know your products inside and out, and you need to make sure that you invest the time in yourself to know those things. The second part of that, which to me is the more important part, is continuing your marketing education, which is a never-ending, ongoing quest. The more you invest into yourself, into marketing knowledge, the more it's going to be returned several-fold. Going back to our comments about return on investment, and the single best return on investment you can have is by investing money in yourself, in your education.
So how much do you spend every year on education?
I can tell you that in 2006, I spent over $70,000, attending various marketing seminars, meetings, boot camps, mastermind meetings with mentors, and this year is going to be almost identical.
So what was your return on that investment, do you think?
I think it was at least six or seven fold. I know I made 10 times that last year.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth the investment.
Right, and I wasn't making 10 times that number back when I wasn't spending that kind of money on myself.
Right.
So I think it definitely is a clear connection between the two.
Yeah, the top 10% make most of the money.
Absolutely.
And invest in themselves.
It, because they're not scared to invest in themselves, I think is probably the main reason.
Yeah.
And you can talk to any successful loan officer in this business, and they're going to tell you the same kinds of things, that they never stop investing in themselves.
In any small business.
Yeah, exactly. Not just the mortgage industry, absolutely. Now, number five, secret number five is actually probably my favorite. I call it herding. Really what it is past customer retention. And the reason we call it herding is because just like a cattle rancher, you've got to manage your herd of past customers. Everybody knows that it's cheaper and it's easier to keep a customer and to sell them something else than it is to go out and find a whole new customer. For that reason, it's very important to be remembered by your past customers. Especially in the mortgage business, it's not just getting your old customer to do another mortgage with you, but it's all the referrals that they can send you, if they know who you are and if they know where you are. The easiest way to look at that is that each of your customers has a lifetime value to you. And you should know exactly what that is. And that's true of any business. You should know the lifetime value of your customer. I can tell you in my case, I know exactly that my lifetime customer value is $31,402.92, $31,402.92. And the way I arrive at that is my current average fee per loan is $7,850, and I know that I can count on getting that loan plus three more from those people over my lifetime in this business. I'll get another loan probably from that individual customer, but I'm going to get referrals from that customer. So it's real important for me to stay in touch with them. I invest a lot of time and effort coming up with crazy, garlic breath ideas and frog ideas. None of those are very expensive, by the way, but the investment is in the creativity to stay in touch with your past customers.
Yeah, just sending them a boring postcard once a month isn't enough.
Well, certainly not once a month, and even most loan officers don't even come close to that. I would say that 99% of the loan officers out there, the most they do is send a card in December, saying Happy Holidays. The key is constant contacts. I think a good rule of thumb is at least 26 times a year you need to be in touch in some way with your customer. I do over 50. Some people I know do over 100, and they're very, very effective at that.
Wow.
And the contacts can be, again, don't need to be expensive. Every loan officer should have a monthly newsletter. It should be a printed newsletter, not an email one. It only needs to be one 11 by 17 page folded over. That creates a four-page newsletter. Very easy, very inexpensive to do. That should be an A number one requirement for everybody. You should also have an e-zine that you send out every 2 weeks. Now, that is by email, and it's totally free. But it gives you, that's 24 contacts a year right there.
Yeah.
Your past customers should get occasional phone calls from you. And if you don't have the time, which you should have, but if you don't have the time to make the personal call, do it as a voice broadcast, where it's just a generic call that says, hey, I was thinking about you. If you need anything, call me. They should be getting cards. Every one of your customers should be getting a birthday card and an anniversary card. If you go a step further and you know they have kids, you need to find out what their birthday is and send their kids a birthday card. But on top of that, they need to get their National Garlic Day card and their Jelly Bean Day card and whatever other ones you want to come up with. In addition to the standard holiday cards, which I don't do much of anymore, I've started sending out Thanksgiving cards instead of Christmas cards and New Year postcards instead of the standard holiday cards, just to be different.
I'm lost in the shuffle.
Well, exactly. Everybody has 100, 200 greeting cards they get every year, in December. So get them in November or get them in January when things are a little bit slower. There's two reasons why you need to be fanatical about your past customer contacts. There's a simple reason and an actual scientific reason for it. The simple reason is you want to stay there so they don't forget you. The scientific answer comes from Adweek. We did a study that said, they basically asked the question, what makes you buy something when you do? So not what makes you buy something, but, you know, why do you buy exactly when you bought it? And there was one answer that was absolutely overwhelming, and it said they needed that product or service at that time. So what does that tell you? It tells you they're not buying because of a sale. They're not buying because of a special promotion. They're buying and they're spending their money with the person who was in front of them at the exact time they needed that product or service.
So if you're only sending a Christmas card, you're only going to get people that maybe need a loan at Christmas.
Well, exactly. And by July, they've totally forgotten about you.
Exactly.
So this way, with being in front of them all the time, when they need that new, when they decide to move, when they need that new mortgage, or when their brother-in-law or their neighbor or whoever it is that they're talking to needs one, they're going to say, oh, yeah, well, here, you should talk to this person. And that's the one and only reason for constant contacts with your past customers. And moving on to our secret number six, and this is something that I definitely take near and dear to my heart. It's the secret of niching. If you're a loan officer and you're not working in a niche, you're severely limiting your potential income. Being one of those guys out there, and when I say guys, I mean guys or women, of course. Being one of those loan officers out there who just has that standard laundry list of we can do purchases, refis, we can do this, we can do that, and basically you just overwhelm your potential customer with a whole list of the things you can do. That is probably the surest way to a short lifespan in this business. Becoming an expert in a niche gives you that opportunity to charge more for your service. It gives you a chance to market much easier marketing opportunities for your prospects, and it gives you a chance to establish ongoing referral business from folks who know exactly what it is you do.
You are the expert in that little niche.
Exactly. In my case, people come to me because I am the construction loan expert. And the same could be true of, that person who does subprime refinances, who does reverse mortgages, who does move-up buyer mortgages, first-time home buyers, all of those things. And there are folks out there who even go so deep as to say, we only do, refinances for medical professionals who can't document their income, or we only deal in million-dollar homes or whatever the niche might be. As long as you choose one and you do well at it, that is going to greatly increase your chances of success in this business.
And it can charge higher rates.
Absolutely. And that's certainly the nice part of it. And all you have to do is think about the top loan officer in your town. Wherever you live, I guarantee there's somebody who's doing more business than the other, and it's probably not a person who just says, we do all the purchases, the refis, et cetera. I ask all the time, when I'm talking to a loan officer, I'll say, okay, well, what does that top guy in your town do? And I've heard before the answer, which just dumbfounds me, which they say, well, yeah, he's real good, but he specializes in X. And it's that but in there, which really drives me crazy. It's not but he, it's because he specializes.
Yeah.
And that's what as soon as you understand that, that's when you can really explode your income.
So you find the most successful person, watch what they do, and do a lot of what they do, maybe, and then a little bit different.
Sure. Well, you do as much as you possibly. You learn as much as you can from them, and you don't necessarily have to even steal that person's niche, or I shouldn't say steal, but duplicate that person's niche. For example, here in my town, if somebody wants to come to me and say, "Look, I want to do reverse mortgages, but I want to use all the same techniques and tactics that you're using to get construction loan," then there's a possible synergy that can work together. Whereas if a guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, I want to do construction loans just like you," I'm probably not going to help him all that much.
Right.
At least not right here in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now if that person lives in Des Moines and I'm here in Virginia, no problem. Mm-hmm. But outside of the mortgage business, household names, companies like Domino's, Walmart's, Papa John's, Ben & Jerry's, they all started out as niches. And the same is true inside and outside of our business. One thing I would like to offer, if anybody wants to read a free report that I wrote about niching, my reasons for liking my niche, as well as my opinions on a couple other niches that I think are very good, they can email me at John, J-O-N, @loanofficersurvivaltactics.com. That's all one big word, loanofficersurvivaltactics.com, and I'll send that out to them right away. Just put in the memo line, just a niche free report, and I'll send that right out. And finally, I'm sorry?
Number seven, the mastermind.
Number seven, lastly, the seventh, and it's the final secret to loan officer success and also any business success, which is the secret of mastermind, which is, for those who don't know, it's really just a very pure form of mentorship. It's seeking out, we talked about go out and find that person who's doing real well and copy from them, learn from them, you know, steal ideas from them, whatever you've got to do. Well, the power of the mastermind is actually that you get a bunch of these people, you put them in one room, and you learn from one another, as well as learn from a mentor who might be leading that mastermind group. I often ask a question. I say, what does Bill Gates, Tiger Woods, Oprah Winfrey, and Dan Rather all have in common? Now, the first thought is everybody says, well, they're all richer than God. Well, yes, they are. They're also all very talented. They're also very successful. They all credit their success to the fact that they have mentors. Bill Gates freely admits that his mentor is Warren Buffett. Tiger Woods, his mentor is Mark O'Meara. Not a lot of people know that, but that's why they're always seen palling around together. Oprah Winfrey credits Maya Angelou for much of her success. And Dan Rather will say, you know, he's learned everything he knows from Walter Cronkite. These are people that learned early on, yes, I've got some talent, but I need more help. I need a way to learn more and to further my profession. And they've all done, obviously, very, very well at that.
So you can't do it all yourself.
Learn absolutely not.
Learn somebody that has experience.
That's right. I said a little bit ago that it's very difficult being on an island. And the beauty of Mastermind is that there is no reason to be on an island. There are people who are just like you who are willing to share and help you grow. And if you're not taking advantage of that, especially in a business where you're responsible for your own income, like a loan officer, I think you're crazy if you're not taking advantage of that.
Right.
A gentleman named Napoleon Hill wrote a book exactly 70 years ago called Think and Grow Rich. To make a long story short, the whole point of the book is about the power of the mastermind. When interviewed, when questioned, the richest, the most successful people in the world all credit that single book as the most influential book that they've ever read, other than the Bible. So it leads people like me to believe, well, if all of these very, very rich, successful, self-made people are all crediting a book that is essentially an advertisement for the Mastermind Principle, as the thing that helped them become rich and successful, then maybe I should be paying a little bit more attention to that.
Right.
And I've taken that to heart. I have mentors. I belong to mastermind groups, and all part of what I mentioned earlier about my investment in myself. When I started doing that, that's when my income exploded.
I was at a conference recently with about 500 people, and one of the speakers said, "How many have read Think and Grow Rich?" And everybody stood up. He said, "How many people believe if you did everything in that book, you'd become a millionaire?" Everybody stayed standing. He said, "How many people actually do what it said in the book?" And like three people remained standing.
Right. That's exactly it.
So you have to take action after you do this, too.
Well, that's the thing. You can't just put the book under your pillow and sleep on it. I can tell you in my case, I actually, starting New Year's Day every year, I read it again. I usually spend that first 3-4 days of the new year resetting my mind by rereading that book. I've done that now for, I guess, 10 years in a row.
Yeah, it's a great book.
And yeah, it's every time you read it, you pick up more and more. Going back to the whole concept of masterminds, right here in our industry, I mentioned earlier, people have heard names like Brian Sachs, Reed Hoisington, Scott Tucker, Doug Huggins. And we said they are successful because they're better marketers. They're also successful because they work in a niche, and they're also successful because they all participate in mastermind groups. I know because I'm actually in some of the mastermind groups with them. But it's an absolute fact that there's an equation between the power and the concept of mastermind and an increase in income.
Yes. two heads are better than one.
Absolutely.
Two heads are much better than two.
That's right, dude. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
can we open it up for any questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask John. We've got some questions people sent in also.
Okay.
Lined up. Richard, do you have a question?
Yep, one moment. The biggest question that we seem to get is how to get more leads. The people want to know, how do they generate leads? How do they get people to call them?
Right. And that's a very general question. And it goes back to several of the things that we've talked about today as far as the secrets to success. Working in a niche, certainly, where you now learn better marketing techniques to get people to call you. I'm what you would call a direct response marketer. So everything that I put in front of people has a reason for people to call me back. I probably don't have enough time to go into all of the exactly how to go get one person to call you, but by incorporating better marketing, by becoming an expert, becoming a specialist in something as opposed to the generic I do everything kind of a person. Those are things that are going to help you generate more leads. Within the individual marketing techniques, there's several things, and it goes back to doing 100 things to get one deal as opposed to trying to do just one thing so to get 100 deals. So if you don't have a newsletter, if you don't have an easy, if you're not sending direct mail, if you're not doing voice broadcasts, if you don't have a website that actually works, and that's important because you... Going back to the concept of direct response, just having a website that says, here, apply here, fill out your information, is not what the successful loan officers are using. So I think that's the short answer of how do you get a lead, but it's by doing many, many different things.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. One of the questions was quickly replacing the subprime niche that I had last month with the low-cost customer acquisitions that are not projects or rate shoppers.
Right. Well, that person, like a lot of folks, are seeing that when they're in the subprime market, that market is just imploding on them. The first answer is you need to find a new niche, because especially looking at the market, the subprime niche is going to be in trouble for a while, and it's probably not the place to be right now. As far as low cost, there's lots of low cost things you can do. In our newsletter, in this past month's newsletter that I sent out, I gave a campaign to my subscribers that was actually quite cheap. The client who I had who used this campaign was a private client of mine who let me reprint the whole thing. And basically, it involved a campaign to first-time home buyers, which is, I think, a market that never goes away because there's always new 20-somethings that are growing up and starting families and need a place to live. This particular campaign involved, and it sounds kind of silly going back to the madcap stuff, it actually involved sending shredded paper to folks who lived in apartments. And with the whole concept of we're shredding your lease and we're shredding so many of them, we need help throwing away the garbage. he spent about $4,000 on that campaign and brought in about $60,000 in sales over about an 8-week period.
Well, that's a great ROI.
Absolutely, and it was cheap and easy to do. It's something you can do right in your office. You know, you don't have to hire printers, mailing houses. I mean, hopefully everybody has a shredder in their office, and everybody's got a word processor and a printer, and one of the things that we do, of course, is we hand address envelopes. If you don't have the time, you have your kid hand address your envelopes for you, or you pay somebody to do it. But even if you don't want to pay them, this is something that you can do very inexpensively.
Let's say I'm a subprime lender, so I have all these leads that are subprime lending leads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to follow up with them at this point. How would I switch to a new niche at this point?
Well, I think that's important. Well,
without spending thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right. Well, you're probably going to have to make at least a small investment in that changeover because, I mean, there's, the old saying, there's nothing for absolutely for free. I mean, there's going to be some time where you're going to have some downtime while you retool. But once you decide what that new niche is that you want to be in, it doesn't have to be an expensive process.
Okay. So just do what you're doing to get the subprime leads, but focus on a different niche.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
And we touched on this before, but one of the questions was, past customer retention referrals. The new lender solicits from the first mortgage payment, and it's difficult to get the customer back, even when marketing at least 4 to 18 times annually.
Well, first of all, 4 to 18 times isn't enough. Just as I mentioned a while ago, 26 should be your minimum, and I do over 50, and lots of other people do even more than that. It is interesting if your new lender is actually now soliciting your customer, and that's sort of an ongoing problem. And the only solution to that is by making sure that your customer loves you. And it goes back to your branding, and they need to know who the brand is of you, so that when somebody else solicits them, whether it's another mortgage loan officer or it's their actual lender who's trying to do something with them, you want to make sure that the very first response from that customer is, "No, I've got a mortgage person." And then they pick up the phone and call you and say, "What is this? Why should I pay attention to this, or why should I ignore it?" That goes back to you becoming their trusted advisor, you becoming that expert that they know they like and they trust.
And when their friends ask if they know a good loan officer, they tell them you, of course.
Exactly. Right, because as bad as it sounds, 18 times a year isn't enough.
Yeah. It's not about putting your face on a big billboard in town on the freeway.
No, not unless you want to throw your money away.
Right, exactly. Okay. Any other questions, Richard?
The last one was something... Let's see. This person is brand new, just starting out, and just wants any help possible. And I think, this whole report has, this whole teleconference has gone a long way to answering that. But is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, the first answer is pay attention to these 7 secrets. The nice thing is, being brand new, you're not... you don't already have a lot of that misguided information and garbage in your mind that other people have taught you. So you have a chance to actually start out fresh and start doing it the right way. Pay special attention to finding a niche, and then pay even more attention to learning how to market to that niche.
I would find the most successful person in the area also and get on their mailing list.
That's a great idea. In the marketing world, successful marketers play customer all the time with other successful marketers. I know that I'm on the mailing list for a guy who sells karate videos. I don't know thing one about karate, but I know he's a very good marketer.
Yeah, if marketing is marketing, it can be adapted to any product.
That's exactly it.
And the good thing about that is you're bringing new ideas into your industry, so maybe other people are not doing it.
But you're getting those ideas. Sure. Just because somebody's not doing it in your industry doesn't mean that it's not a good idea. And it goes back to what Earl Nightingale said, look around and do the opposite.
I would never think of sending frogs to get people to get a mortgage.
Right.
But it worked.
Crazy things like, I thought it was absolutely crazy to take our garbage, our shredded paper,
right,
and stuff a handful of it in an 8.5 or a 9x12 size envelope, that fit 8.5x11 paper. You put the letter in there with a handful of essentially your garbage.
Right.
But it gets noticed, and there's a lot of reasons things like that get noticed. The whole concept of bulky mail, mail that has a feel to it instead of a flat letter, that gets opened more often than not. Once you get them to open, then of course you've got to do your job of being a good marketer, selling yourself and your product. But step one in so much of marketing is just getting the prospect to actually even look at what it is that you've written or what it is you're saying. So if it's a direct mail piece, you need to get them to open it. If it's a website, you need to get them to actually read it.
Right. And then once they trust you, you're golden.
That's it. Exactly.
Can you tell us a little about your niche goals?
Sure. Each month I publish a newsletter targeted specifically to niche marketing ideas and techniques and tactics for loan officers. It's usually about a 20-page newsletter along with a whole bunch of inserts and other add-ins, exhibits, and details. For example, last month we completely laid out in about 15 pages of an insert that whole shredded paper campaign, as an example. I have guest authors, people like Brian Tracy, Dan Kennedy, contribute articles. Jim Rome, considered a business philosopher. You know, we have something from him each month. And then, of course, I write several of the articles and the features. You know, I do a feature each month called Looking Over My Shoulder, where people get to see exactly what it is I'm working on each month, and I provide details. You know, how did I piece together this campaign? Why I'm doing it? What's the reasoning behind sending that frog? Such as, for example, it's not just sending a. You could easily send a picture of a frog and say, here's your frog. But the idea of getting your letter open because of it's a bulk email piece, little things like that. And these are all little techniques and tactics that, when all put together, creates a successful sales operation. Whether it's a mortgage operation or selling widgets.
Every month, you teach people all the tricks that you talked about today.
Exactly.
That's great.
Exactly. And we have we do a special offer that I know folks can go to your website. To look at the offer, but we actually will give you a 3-month free subscription along with about $1,000 worth of other bonuses and goodies that all designed to help you immediately start generating more leads and more income.
Oh, that's great. 3 free months. Mm-hmm. We set up a link. It's at mortgageproNews.com/John, J-O-N. If you want your 3-month free trial, it's MortgageProNews.com/John, J-O-N.
Great. Well, if folks go to that, we'll make sure we get out their information right away.
Great. And if people want to get that free report from you, what's the email address again?
Email me at John, J-O-N, at Loan Officer Survival Tactics. And that's all one big word, loanofficersurvivaltactics.com.
Great. Well, John, this has been great.
Thanks. Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay.
Yep, thank you very much.
Well, great. So stay tuned. We'll be having another call next month for the Mortgage Pro News Thrive Now Success Series. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you.